Daddy.
Caitlin, you're gonna be staying home tonight, right?
Yes, we're just gonna hang out here, watch TV or something, but that is it.
I don't know what the fuck I'm calling this, so for right now, it's just an audio review with a bastard. A spoiling bastard, for that matter. Now, people are going to be like, he's a bastard. Yeah, he's kind of a bastard. He's one of a bastard I've known for about 3 years now. Probably plus. I don't remember. I'm drinking right now, so don't pay attention to me. The man of the hour you need to pay attention to is not the phenomenal one, which I am that, but this guy right here.
You may know me from the site as...
Damn, he just melted my chocolate dick.
My true name is Sean, but I would like to say that I am somewhat of a Cage expert, so for tonight's film, I thought it was appropriate that we chose Rage.
Rage. Oh my god, even the title is stupid as fuck. It makes no goddamn sense. Hold on, about that title. I just thought about that. Wait a minute. I just saw I haven't seen this movie in about, I want to say about a month and a half maybe. But I'll tell you this right now. That goddamn title don't make no fucking sense with this movie the way it ends. His ass crying in a fucking twin bed talking about tonight.
Title comes up, like the title card, it looks like some Microsoft Word text.
That's some Microsoft Illustrator.
Yeah, it's like the opening scene is, it's like Nicolas Cage is sitting on a bed, it's just like close up of his eyes, and then like you see the front of a shotgun come through an open door, and then it's like, Rage.
Motherfucker thought he was clever, the director thought he was clever with that shot. They're like, oh, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show the ending, and and make you wonder how he got here. It's like, ooh, oh, it's like, oh, get the fuck out of here with that. Come on now.
Oh, no, now I do remember the ending. I saw it 2 days ago, and I almost forgot about the entire film.
I mean, it's forgettable, right? I had to look up some parts and shit. I was like, oh, maybe I picked the wrong, we picked the wrong movie, because I was like, I probably got to rewatch this, because I don't remember a damn thing about it. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, nah, I remember that shitty movie.
Even so, how forgettable it is overall, there are some great Cage freak-out moments in this movie.
Oh, I know which one, too. It's towards the end where he's just rat, rat, rat! I was like, what the fuck?
he says rat 3 times, but before that he's like, you talk!
It's funny because at the end of the film, that's his reaction to everything, but at the beginning of the film... He can't even get simple sentences out and shit like that. Because every time he talked, I remember that scene where he was with the mayor and they were taking photos at the little construction site and stuff. And he kept going, what we're going to do here is we're going to get... So I was just like, damn, dude, come on. Come on, Nick. Come on. You a goddamn veteran actor. And you over here looking at the damn keyboard over there trying to figure out what's your next line. And so you like, staring... right. Okay. I will say one thing about him though. His toupee is looking tremendous in this film.
Oh my god, his hair. His hair looks as though it's trying to escape the back of his head.
I'm not gonna lie, actually. I actually rewinded the ending of it and I was like, I stared at that hair piece for like the damn last 20 minutes of the film. I was just looking at it, I was like, what in the hell?
During the earlier Cage freakout on a rooftop, his hair is like visibly sliding off. Yeah. You can see it falling off. During the dramatic scene, allegedly.
Actually,
there's a point where he's on the roof with this guy, and he's interrogating him, So, very basically, Nicolas Cage's daughter disappears, and then he's looking for people who did it, and he used to be a criminal, and then he's interrogating people, like, where are my daughters? Whole movie.
This was a poor man's Taken, is what it was.
Yeah, exactly. And he also did another movie called Stolen, which was
basically... Stolen? Which I want to say, that came out a month right after Taken 2. If I'm not mistaken. Nah, man, he did one movie, another movie this year called Left Behind. That is some garbage right there.
I still didn't watch that one.
That's the religious one.
Oh, no.
That's the religious one.
May the cage protect you through it all.
Hey, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to fly this plane until we get to God.
God. You know, I used to be a ghost rider, and now I'm a ghost pilot.
I'm Johnny Blaze.
And I'm that ghost pilot.
That motherfucker just throws scripts in the air and whatever lands in his fucking hands. Okay. Whatever lands in his hands, that's the one he fucking.
He's like, okay, what kind of hairpiece? I'm in.
What kind of hairpiece? Nicolas Cage, got one idea for you. Hats. Invest in them, my brother. Invest in them.
But anyway, as I was saying, there's a great freak out when he chases this guy into a rooftop in one of the most poorly filmed chase sequences ever. It's like they just handed, like, Michael J. Fox the camera or something.
Bro, I thought you were going to say Stevie Wonder, but, you know, no. teach his own.
You could probably point in one direction.
You know what? I don't want to insult Stevie Wonder like that. At least he's got Einstein to fucking find some shit, but, you know.
So he gets him on the rooftop, and he's interrogating him, and I think he's already shot or stabbed him, so the guy's dying, and he won't talk to him. And Nicolas Cage is like, don't die, don't die. And as he's saying, don't die, he's slamming the guy's head repeatedly.
I know.
Like, what are you doing? One thing, and then murdering him even more. And then at that point, he just screams and cries like,
Tip to all people trying to interrogate someone. Punching the dude ain't going to get some ounces out of him, especially when he's on his deathbed right about now. And then slamming his head into the back of a damn rooftop furnace. I highly doubt that's even going to help him even talk anymore. Matter of fact, you just helped kill him quicker. And then you that first line you made about his hairpiece, the back part of it and shit, you were exactly right. Because they show so many back shots of his hairpiece, and that motherfucker is just turned to the left for some reason. It is like spiky to the left. I don't know why it's spiked that way. Maybe the hair gel just dried up on it or something. But Jesus Christ, man. That brother needs some soul glow.
It was so low budget that you didn't even have enough hair gel for me.
All right, well, you know, my hair gel only costs about $5.95, you know.
I have a closer where I have to get as much hair gel as I demand.
That motherfucker, he took all the hair gel from his Superman costume and put it on there. That's what it was.
Hey, I'm still thinking about doing a Zack Snyder Superman.
You know, I always wonder what it was like to be a superhero, you know.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering what it's like to have a missing daughter.
Yeah, in real life, I just might light my skull on fire.
Yeah, because I'm Johnny Blaze. And I'm the Ghost Rider.
Oh, man. But there are some great scenes in this movie outside of even Cage. But, like, what baffled me throughout the viewing of it was, this is a completely garbage movie, but we expect that from Cage.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I couldn't believe that they got Peter Stormare to come in.
Yes. Yes. That's what I was looking at. I was like, damn, the cast they got in here. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Peter Stormare.
And who else was in there, P1? Who else was?
Oh, man. You got the greats like Michael McGrady.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about the one, the only, Danny.
Danny Glover. Mr. Yeah. I'm sorry right now. Danny Glover, you need to retire, because after watching this movie with you, man, I had to turn the volume up every time that motherfucker talked. I was like, what did he just say?
I had the subtitles on Netflix.
That motherfucker was like Shaq. He needed the words with the bouncing ball to follow at the bottom of the screen and shit like that. Because I was like, Jesus. Jesus Christ, man. I was like, I knew you was old, but damn, I didn't know you was talking that fucking bad. Now he's like, hey, what you gotta do is you gotta get in cover or whatever. I mean, they give this dude no background. It's just like, oh, 15, I've known him for 15 years or whatever. And like, he just randomly does the most random shit. Like, there's a scene where he caught Nick Cage and he just lets him go. Watch your back, Nick. And I'm just like,
of all time. He gave this guy complete passes to do anything. Nick Cage and his crew murder half the city. And he's like, I'll let you off with a warning.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? Hey, watch your back, Paul. I'm just like, what? Are y'all partners now? I was like, what the fuck?
And then they gave Danny this one, like, dramatic monologue because he's Danny Glover. It's like, one time my daughter got killed and I went to the guy.
house with a gun. I stood out there for an hour, and then I went home and didn't kill him.
That was the most boring fucking story. That was the most boring fucking story I've ever heard. I was like, I wanted that Nick Cage to tell him, does this story have a point now? Oh, man, Sean, you want to... Okay, you gave the synopsis or whatever, but the plot of this fucking movie, man, is baffled. It is the most stupidest thing I ever... And, you know, I'll give the movie credit and points as far as, like, trying to keep the mystery up, as far as, like, you may have not know who done it or something like that, but it's so half-assed and amateurish that you just kind of like, I kind of don't even care at this point. And then when, you know, that's the only credit I can probably give it. But then when it gets to the ending and when it's revealed, I was like, man, fuck you, movie.
That was the worst plot twist I've seen in a movie in recent memory. Like, I can't believe what happened. So, I mean, this whole movie, we have Cage, who, by the way, is allegedly trying to play like some kind of Tony Soprano-esque figure.
Man.
It's like, Nicolas Cage's not intimidating.
God, no, his hairpiece is more intimidating than him. Come on.
I know. And they're talking about him like he's ex-mob or ex-whatever, and I'm like, you have this skinny-ass old horse's face, man.
When he first meets Danny Glover and they're in the house and he realizes his daughter's taken and he saw like an image of her being taken away in that hallway, did you see the look on his face? Like, he looked like goddamn Droopy the dog and shit.
Oh my god. It's like he found out his daughter was taken and he looked about as like basically indifferent as if like a certain TV show hadn't been on.
He was like, what do you mean Walking Dead is on season break right about now? Gotham is a good TV show. They should put me as Batman in there. You know, it's like no, it's all right.
Batman isn't in that show. Oh, what a man.
You know what would make a good TV show? I think that Ghost Rider show would make a good.
I like Rick's hair contract.
You know what? All my movies would make a good TV show, actually.
Yeah, man. It was great though, and you're talking about amateurish, and it really has some of the worst, like, just easy effects of all time. Like, eventually Peter Stormare's character is murdered and he's in a wheelchair. And he is shot and you see like a CGI flash and then he like digitally shifts out of the frame.
Oh my god, yes.
You remember?
Yes, I do. Hey, did you see that? Did you see that glare in the corners of the fucking camera? Yeah. It had like some glowing, like it was some Legend of Hercules shit when he come out the water and shit, just all sparkly. And so it's like, what the hell is this? They couldn't get that sun out the background for the camera shot. And what was Peter Stormare doing? Like the way he was acting, dude, he could not keep that George Clooney bobblehead down for shit. His head was just rotating like he was a goddamn clicker from The Last of Us or something.
He looked like a puppet being puppeteered by a drunk man.
So you're right. Hey, act like you're crippled or whatever. Yeah, okay, I could do that. Yeah, I'll just rotate my head the whole damn way. My eyes won't be paying attention to the person that's ever talking to me. I'll just be looking which way and shit. It's like, damn, dude. But I want to bring up one thing I laughed my ass off. I don't know if you noticed this, whatever, but you remember when they did the flashback? Because I gotta, you know what? I take that back. I give credit to this movie for doing another thing. I never knew what Nicolas Cage looked like young. This movie showed us what Nicolas Cage looked like when he was young because they showed a flashback when him and his two buddies were all young and shit when they were 17, and they show these grown ass 30-year-old men. Nicolas Cage was like this fat Russian dude. Matter of fact, he looked like that fat dude from Batman Begins that was James Gordon's partner and shit. I was staring at that dude. I stared at that dude and said, damn, they couldn't even get someone that looked like Nicolas Cage. Like, they just couldn't keep the mask on him or something. I was like, this dude looks nothing like Nicolas Cage. You know, us guys get scared when you don't take a piece of cake or whatever and shit. I'm no rat or whatever and shit.
That was crazy. Like, I wasn't even sure what those flashbacks were meant to be. I didn't even know they were flashbacks. I thought it was, like, showing the people who had taken his daughter.
Yes.
And then they kept showing it, and then eventually Nick Cage kept going, we were just kids.
We were just kids. So you mean tell me three teenagers robbed three grown-ass men? Matter of fact, Russian mafia men?
Seasoned mafia.
By the way, and the, check this out. He's the villain they had in here. He's like, that was my brother. How old was your brother then? Because this happened. Nicolas Cage in this movie is like pushing over 40.
Oh my God! Talking about another age thing that I was laughing at. Like his daughter looks like maybe 22, but they always do that in movies where it's like, oh, she's in high school, but she looks like that age. His wife looks the same age. As
They even make a joke about it. Damn, she's hot. It's like, yeah, she's hot because she your age.
I know, that was so creepy. Like, oh my God, one of the most disturbing scenes in the whole film. And there are scenes that are meant to be disturbing that aren't disturbing. And then there's shit like when Nick Cage like nuzzles his wife's neck.
Oh yeah. Are you talking about in that scene where she was like, he was like, I know why you stay. It's because you like to find out I'm a killer and shit. And he just grabbed her and started. I was like, why am I uncomfortable in this scene?
Just let him do it.
Yeah, dude. Now you know it's bad. P1 is getting grossed out. I was like, oh, dude. I was like, this.
But Nick Cage was like coming in his pants, just like licking her neck, like.
They even did that that shot at the beginning where Nicolas Cage trying to be sexy and shit. He was just like, what do you think I should go with, the Dolce and Gabbana or the Calvin Klein? Which cologne or whatever? Go with the Noir. And he's just, I love it when you talk me out of being stuff or whatever. It sounds so sexy. Let's just have a little free time. That shit was hard. I was like, Grandpa, step off. Come on.
It was like someone on a registered sex offender site. Like, oh
my gosh, no wonder my phone was blaring Amber Alert.
Yeah. It's like our sources say you're watching Rage.
It's funny. Somebody photoshopped that P with a G instead. Next thing you know, the cops bust down my door and was like, so you did watch this movie. It's like, hey, what? Hold on. I thought of something else.
No.
It's some kind of. This is some kind of cop setup or some shit like this.
Oh my God, that was insane.
It was so cheesy, though, every time he interacted with this girl or something like that. I was just looking at it. I was just like, man, I'm getting those Denise Richards, Eugene Levy parts from Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protect. I'm getting those vibes. I'm just like, dude, you old enough to be her damn great-grandfather.
Or like Mickey Rourke and like any girl in The Expendables.
Yeah, any girl. Sly Stallone and that chick from Expendables 2. Hey, why don't you back off, Sly? I called dibs on that first.
Oh, my God. And then, other things in the movie that were weird. So it's like, it's trying to be like hard R, like edgy.
Yeah.
It's got some of the least convincing CGI blood I've ever seen in my life.
And action scenes, for that matter, too. You remember that when they rushed into the bar? And like he grabs the dude, he grabs the dude's arm, and then he keeps like just cutting his wrist up. I'm like, this dude got a gun in the other hand. Why are you just cutting his wrist?
I don't know if you noticed this, but the fight choreography was so bad with the editing. Like, now you know that in a lot of modern action, people who clearly can't fight, you know, it's just edited badly, and then like it seems like they're fighting, but you just can't see the action.
Yeah.
This one, literally, he punches this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, another shot just like that, too, is when they raided that crack house or whatever, and he was on the ground with the shotgun and the pistol, and he shoot the dude with the shotgun. The shotgun wasn't even pointed at him. It was fucking...
Oh, that was so great. Like, he lined up. He knew exactly when the two guys would come up. It's like shooting like a V.
Yeah.
Okay. That reminded me of Max Payne.
Oh, God. Well, I was a superhero. Now I'm a video game character. All right. My career...
Oh, and how great was that car chase when he was just, like, flipping cars over left and right, blowing up a cop car?
That car chase scene was horrible, too. Like, there's a scene where he's chasing a dude on the motorcycle. The motorcycle goes to the right. Why is he still driving straight when a van comes? And then he turns to the right, too. And then the van just automatically just crashed into another car. I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
The one cop car got, like, nudged, and it explodes, like, fully.
Yeah. Or even when he picks up Donnie, the bigger dude in here, when he first picks him up and they go on their little hunt and shit like that. I don't know if you noticed, but this is some typical green screen shit. The Mustang he was driving was just sitting in the background waiting there. And then it almost said, like the director said, action. Then the car, you see the lights come on and just drives towards. I was like, that was a dead end street where he just came from. So that car was just waiting there.
Yeah.
Who the?
Man, it was some weird stuff, man. Like, the weird thing that I didn't get was, like, after he stopped becoming a criminal, like, what was his job? What's his job?
Thank you. I thought he was the mayor at first. When they were at that little signing thing, they was like, Mr. Mayor. And then I saw the black dude. I was like, okay, well, then, what is he? He's a security guard then for the mayor? I mean, what is he? Like, does he got Liam Neeson job? He's like, just for hire? Or what's going on here? And then he keeps talking about a construction plan. He was just like, well, you know, I like to get my hands dirty. And, you know, I had a hammer and built my way up. It's like, build your way up with what? And they kept talking about his past, like, we know about your past. It's like, if your past is so damn secret and dangerous, like, how does everybody fucking know about it in the town?
Yeah, and once again, Danny Glover, this guy is responsible for murdering probably 20 people and, like, causing a massive wreck in the city.
Yeah.
And he's like, let him off with a warning.
Let him off.
I don't know why. He just let him go. And another weird thing that I noticed, do you remember when they were at the daughter's that funeral scene?
Oh, jeez.
By the way, spoilers. The daughter is found dead in, like, the first half hour. Cage is, like, there at the funeral with sunglasses on. Like, he can't even be bothered to cry or act. And then some random little girl is, like, singing a song. And then he's like, thanks for your song. It was beautiful. It's like, what?
It's almost like Cage was fighting himself to cry in this movie. Because there was, like, four scenes in this movie where he was supposed to be crying. And he could not shed a tear for shit, dude. I was like, damn, can at least somebody throw some water in his eyes or something like that? Because the ending, he tried to cry. All you see was just like a little bit glare in his eyes. When he goes visit to the mortuary and he sees the body there, he was supposed to cry there. But then some reason, he just couldn't do it. The funeral, like you just said, he just went up to look. Oh, that was really beautiful what you just did right there. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really so good.
I like that this dude is supposed to be one of the most dangerous crime lord criminals in retirement right now, and yet he's friends with the police.
Yeah, exactly. Do you honestly think like a Goodfellas or a Tony Soprano or something would be like, yeah, Officer Krupp, you know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah, friends with the police, and by the way, they know his record and shit like that, but yet somehow, like you keep bringing up in this review, he can kill 20 people in a car chase. With no leads or whatever, and just still walk away.
And, like, a really heavy-handed way that they were showing you that he was reformed, like, he wasn't, like, his old self anymore. Early in the movie, like, first 15 minutes, there was a multiple dialogue to his daughter, like, don't do any drugs, and no cigarettes, no smoking. I don't want you or your friend doing drugs. And then he, like, interrogates the boyfriend, the son, or whatever.
That guy was horrible, too,
like,
by the way.
He's like, you don't do drugs, do you? You don't smoke. You respect my daughter. You want to take her out? It's like, dude, what are you doing? He's just that kid.
And that kid was so fucking horrible too. I'm sorry, but I like his so-called interrogations. Like, do you do any drugs or anything like that and shit like that? It's like, dude, you leaving your 17-year-old daughter home with two dudes?
Yeah, like honestly, he's like a mastermind criminal and can't figure out that they're gonna drink and like try to fuck his daughter or whatever.
Which, mind you, the mother set up in this scene, the stepmother at least, she sets up in this scene. Yeah, we kind of found the cigarette buds and shit like that. And she was like, well, I took the heat for you. And she was like, does dad believe you? He was like, of course not, he didn't. So it's like, okay, someone that's supposed... We set up in the beginning of this movie, like, he's a hard-ass dad or whatever. He's on his daughter's case. But then when we get to this house, whatever, she's just like, oh, I'm inviting some guys over and stuff like that. I'm like, you know damn well them two dudes was gangbanging that bitch in every hole they could find or whatever.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Hey.
Like, oh, here's a new one. I'll put it on my own dog.
You know what? This will make a great second movie to this movie right here. You know, maybe a part two, Rage 2. Why is this called Rage? I'm trying to stand. There's not a moment in here. There's like two moments at the most where Nicolas Cage loses his shit. But other than that, he's just calm and looking droopy throughout the whole damn movie and shit. Just like he does look poor.
Exciting.
You know what would have been more exciting is if more people would have saw my movie.
And the great part is, like, there's more scenes that go on with her guy friends. I don't know what the fuck his name is.
Yeah, I don't know what their names are.
After his daughter is found dead, Nick Cage goes to the guy's house in one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And, like, he walks in and he's trying to make small talk with the guy.
Yeah.
And he's, wow, look at all these awards. Like I said, just like that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to bring that up, too. Nigga, there was three awards on that dresser.
It's like he himself didn't believe what he said.
And then, oh, yeah, and I like his line, too. It's just like, I expect you to take a bullet for my daughter. I'm just like, oh, nigga, fuck. Fuck.
And then to show he was, like, pissed off, he okay, shit, all right, bullshit. I expect you to shit Defender, but this doesn't fit in at all. And then I wrote in my notes when I was watching, I was like, Cage, not a believable Tom.
And it was so, at times I couldn't tell the rating of the film too, because the action was so horribly shot and there was no blood. And then when you get to his language, he's kind of like, okay, is this a PG-13? What is this? I mean, that whole, that scene he had with the so-called boyfriend or whatever shit, I couldn't stop laughing at how bad Cage's delivery was. And then he tried to intimidate him by telling the story. You know, I was about you're 17, right? Okay, yeah. I was about your age, and when I met Mary. Mary is my daughter's mother at the time. And, you know, we was walking here on the beach. We were having a good time, you know? And some guy called her a slut. This nice little Catholic girl, a slut. So you know what I did? I went to my trunk of my car and got a crowbar and broke both his knees. I was like, damn, dude, don't you think that's a little extreme? Come on now.
Yeah, maybe, like, punch him in the face, knock him out. But, like, why are you, like, fucking deform him?
Even tell him, like, hey, fuck off, dude, or something like that. But at 17, I never thought in the right mind or whatever. Especially you, Sean. You fresh from coming from 17. But in my most recent memory, when I was 17, I was dating somebody. I can especially tell that if someone ever called my girl a slut or anything, I would just tell him, hey, fuck off at the most. I'm not about to go to a car and break his fucking knees or nothing like that.
Yeah, I was, brief tangent. It'll be super brief, but, like, I had an experience like that before. Wasn't slut, it was just being disrespectful and shit, and like there were like punks on bikes who were like, oh, well, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. You just tell them to fuck off or laugh or be like, whatever, man, these little kids don't mean shit. But at 17, when he told that story, I was just like, is he telling him that to intimidate him? And then he's, what do you want me to do? They had guns. I expect you to take a bullet for her.
Take a bullet for any friend you've ever had.
I was like,
that
I was
the life we've chosen.
Nicolas Cage was so he unsold that scene so much that I would have told him straight up, I ain't taking a fucking bullet for your daughter. You out your damn mind? She never gave me no ass.
Oh my god. And like, Nicolas Cage, like, horse face that he is, imagine what he looked like at 17. He's like, you know, son, when I was just a pony, I looked.
I was about to say, you don't have to imagine, Sean, because remember, they showed him at 17 in this movie. He was looking for falafels.
Yeah, it looks like Garrett from Subway.
The before and after photos. No, you know what? There can't be an after because Nicolas Cage's still fat, so it was the before and middle photos.
Oh, dude, you remember that scene where he had his shirt off and, like, they wouldn't even show his, like, nipples?
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, the villain, dude. They did some typical shit here. This dude's beating up on his friend, and then there's this scene, kid you not, the typical villain shit, where he takes his shirt off with his back turned to the guy just so he can flash his Russian tattoos and shit. Be like, oh shit, look at him. He's got all this. I'm just like, nobody give a fuck about your tattoos right now.
I will say, though, the movie was terrible, but at least that guy looked the part.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'll give him that. He did look threatening.
That's like the only positive note I wrote.
And I will say, that whole boxing story he told, the dude did buy me off that he used to box someone and somehow or something.
He sold certain parts of the character.
Yeah.
He was trying.
Yeah. And you know what? I wouldn't even necessarily call him the villain, because he's not even the villain of the fucking... The villain of this movie is that goddamn kid.
The villain is the kid.
Yeah.
And as we find out, in one of the most improbable twists, the two friends who were over... Okay, so they're drinking, so we figured that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... For some fucking reason, like a 17-year-old, not a little kid, a 17-year-old, is like, I hear you have a gun here. Like, I just want to play with it. I always wonder what a gun was like. It's like, you're a damn near grown-ass man.
That's what I said. I said, you're a grown-ass man. What you doing getting excited off this shit or whatever? Like, it's like, ooh, didn't your dad used to do some secret stuff? It's like, big-time gangster. It's like, you just got done setting up that you scared of him. So why would you want to go through his shit?
And for some fucking reason, she gets the gun. And then, for another reason I don't understand, they're outside in the rain drinking. Like, why'd they go outside? It's fucking raining.
One of the kids ran. He just runs off with the gun. The other friend, he just runs off. And he's just cheering and shit. He's just like, oh, yeah. And then the other one is just like, it's just rain. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to melt. It's like, what the?
Comical slow motion. Because, like, the dude is playing with the gun, like, pointing it forward, but, like, facing the other direction. And then Nick Cage's daughter's like, hey, and then he turns around and, like somehow shoots her.
Blows her damn head off.
And it's slow motion, and the rain's like, It's like trying to be killing them softly or something.
They should have played Z's music from Night of the Living Dead. Good night. Tonight. Nah, that was, and then when Nicolas Cage when he's hearing the story from him, he fires off 3 shots at the dude. I'm just like, what was that for? Like, I don't get nothing. I love it. This huge ass car scene, cops are all over the place. How many gunshots went off in this city? Wasn't a single cop nowhere near.
Or maybe Danny Glover was at command. He's like, let it happen.
That would have been funny if they would have just showed Danny Glover from the window and saying, he learned from my story. See?
And the strange part is, throughout this movie, we're shown that Nicolas Cage is, like, ruthless. Like, he murders people who clearly are innocent, didn't do anything. And then, like, this kid is like, I didn't mean to. And he's like, okay, I believe you. What?
I'm telling you, that's why Danny Glover need to be on his review to tell you, Sean, I told you my story. It hurt, it hit his heart real good. That was the worst fucking twist. That was the worst fucking thing of the whole movie is when we got to the end, just found out that happened.
Oh my god, you're damn right about that, because, like, honestly, A, it comes out of nowhere, and B, it's totally inconsistent with Cage's character throughout the film.
And then C, it's like, then what was the fucking point of this movie then? This was the whole thing. You mean, tell me, you went around this whole town causing this destruction and shit to tell me it was just this fucker right here? You think someone with his experience, though, would have came back to that kid, since he was there, he's a witness or whatever, he would have been like, that kid didn't give me any kind of, you know what, fuck it, I'm bringing him along with me then, whatever. Instead of going around town fucking up with the Russian mafia.
I think this guy, Paco Cabezas, thought, this is a director, what he was doing was saying, like, look at all this tragic violence that comes from a mistake he made in the past. But, like, they did not express that well.
You know what? I agree with you on that one. Because this movie looked like it tried to have a lot of undertone messages to it that just didn't deliver well.
Yeah.
It just didn't deliver well at all.
And the tagline on the poster, like, I can't believe a piece of shit like this even got a poster.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yes.
The poster, first of all, it's Nick Cage shot from the side, so it looks like he has actual hair. And then it says, the past never stays
dead. Oh. I like the weapons in the background, the brass knucks, the shotgun. It's just like, this dude's holding a knife in his hand and that hairpiece, and he's just looking to the side and just like, the past never stays dead. But this movie don't have shit to do with the past. That's the thing.
It's funny that they, that he has a knife in the poster, because, like, randomly in the movie, he's like, I like knives.
Go. Yeah, I was gonna say, why did his friend ask him about why he liked knives and shit? Y'all been friends for how long? Since 17.
Exactly, that's such bad dialogue, because it's like, these guys have been going, like, together for decades, and then he's asking, like, so tell me a little bit about yourself, Nick Cage. It's like, what?
And that conversation came out of nowhere because they were talking about a gun from a Russian guy. So what did Nick Cage's knives have to do with that conversation? I was just like, jeez, and you want to talk about dialogue? Oh, what did Nick Cage say to Danny? He was just like, when they killed all those guys at the bar and he was playing pool, whatever, he was just like, damn it, Danny, shit's about to get radical right about now. I was like, what did he just say?
And didn't he say something like, if it was your daughter, you would do the same?
Oh, don't forget the scene. He was like, here's $26,000 each or whatever. And he was just like, we're family. And he was supposed to, another scene where he was supposed to cry, and he just, like, tried to hug these two. And they almost looked like they were, like, embarrassed for him. They just had to pat him on the back and shit.
It's like, their acting is not acting. It's like the challenge of acting is trying to keep a straight face.
Yeah. And it was just so fucking bad. And these dudes, like you said, they come off as badass. This dude attached a cinder block to a crackhead girl and almost damn near threw her out of a window just for fucking information.
That was one of the scenes, like, I've never called any of this good, but, like, at least in that part, it was somewhat believable that, like, a mafia guy like this or a criminal would be, like, that ruthless to just some random girl. Like, that felt a degree believable. Mm-hmm. Like, it was ridiculous what he did, but, like, the extremes and the cruelty felt pretty, like, believable for that kind of character.
I thought his friends that he had was the part that actually sold us on what Nick Cage used to be. Nick Cage came into the game, it was just like, wow, he just fucking destroyed every belief I had about him.
He's trying to, like, emote or cry. He just, like, squints and, like, squeezes his head real hard. It looks like he's trying to take a shit and can't.
And that upper lip is always up in the air, and it's just like, what in the hell? And it's like...
Sometimes his lip is, like, quivering, like...
Oh, my God. And then the ending, where he's just laying in the bed, and he's talking to his wife. Okay, I got a question for you, Sean. Why the fuck would he tell his wife to come home if he knows some mobsters is coming home to kill him? Why would he tell her, yeah, baby, everything is safe now. You can come on home and find my dead body here so you can cry in tears and shit like that, you know?
His wife was such a bland actress, too. She was no better than Katie.
No, she was just, I like her reaction. It was just like, you do whatever it takes to bring her home or whatever. And then not even halfway through the very next scene, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm just putting on a leather jacket. It's cold.
And doesn't she leave halfway through like, I can't be with someone like this? It's like, what?
What? You've been with this dude for how long? And you're the one that told, even, in fact, there's even that line where he's just like, you told me you wanted this. Now look what you got. Does it turn you on that I murder people? Huh?
And who can withstand the cage being?
That charm of his is just bodacious.
Charm of a dying horse.
Hey, horses have charm and big teeth. Nick Cage has both. Sean, well, how would you wrap this up, though, man? What would you wrap this up and rate it?
Well, on the phenomenal, on the movie spoiler scale.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a fuck it. If you give it like a serious review or whatever, which like I'm not trying to do, like if you like look at it like a real movie, like it's a complete fuck it. But like if you have the right mindset and maybe like watch it with some buddies or whatever, like you could stream this on Netflix, and it is on Netflix, and it's hilarious at points.
Yeah.
And it's so short. Like some of his bad movies are like long and boring and just suck and they're not funny. Like this was more entertaining to me than Stolen. Like that's not really a praise because it's like, well, getting kicked in the left nut wasn't as bad as the right one. But
yeah,
it's basically like I think shorter and more entertaining because there's more freakouts. Like there are some bad ones he does like straight to video or straight to Netflix bullshit where it's like he doesn't even freak out. So it's like, what's the point of watching it?
But Left Behind.
There are some good laughs to this movie. So like. It's a fuck it, but you should probably stream it if you like this kind of shit.
Yeah, you know what? I'm right up there with you, man. That's, man, thank God for Netflix, because it does bring gold out like this. And I think, like Adam Sandler did, breaking a deal with Netflix, I think Nick Cage should do the same and just produce 3 movies a year straight to Netflix.
Seriously, like, you should do that. I'm completely serious. Now, Nicolas Cage is a garbage actor, but he's a really entertaining actor, no matter what anyone says. To me, he's so entertaining.
He's the worst best actor you'll ever see. I don't even know how that's possible, but somehow Nicolas Cage found a way to pull it off. And the best thing about it, too, is, like, I think Nick Cage is a good actor. I mean, I haven't seen him in recent memory. It'd be good, but there was a movie I didn't care for that much back in, I want to say, 2010, 2011, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I thought Nick Cage was actually good in that film.
And he's good in Kick-Ass, too.
Yeah.
He's part in a weird, funny way.
Yeah, man, that dude thought he really was going to be Batman off that shit. That's the thing about this dude and his roles. He think he just going to take a role and just go somewhere. But it's like, Nick, no. You're going to stay right where you're at right here. Yeah, man. Oh, don't worry. I'll win an Oscar already. Maybe my Big Daddy role will bring in something. Maybe the Geek Award or something like that, you know? I'm with Sean, though, man. It's not that long. It is really short, actually. I looked it up. It's like an hour and a half. I thought it was like an hour and 15, personally, because it gets...
The next minutes are about 10 or 12 minutes.
Yeah, it gets right into the movie of where it's going to go, and Nicolas Cage is throughout the whole movie, man. This dude is a dying breed of bad, good actors. He really is. I hope he sticks around for the long run. It is a fuck it, but my God, man, it is a worth it of a fuck it.
Shit, but now it's like, I'm too dead for
your
shit.
That dude looked dead as fuck. They could at least dyed his hair or something, because that dude was looking like he was damn near Dracula. I thought he was about to get up.
His corpse just to be in rage.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for the sunlight to just start melting him and shit like that. It's like, Jesus Christ. He looked like a goddamn gremlin and shit sometimes.
Nicholas, they are calling me away now.
Oh, but people. You know what, Sean? That was fun, man.
Oh, I had such a great time, man.
Thanks. You know what? I hope to keep this as a regular. People, let me go ahead and give this out, whatever. I don't have an official name for it, though. It's just considered a review. It might be like a Friday thing we do where I post it on Fridays, because usually reviews go Fridays through Sunday. So what I'm going to do, people, once a month maybe, is I'm going to let one of the spoiling bastards out there, you can message me. Send me a movie that you would like to review with me. Obviously, I'll do all the recording work and stuff like that for you and stuff. It'll be your movie like Sean did. He pretty much took over here. He gave the synopsis, the rating and all that stuff, whatever. But what we're going to do is pick a movie from Netflix. I'll watch it whenever I can. You watch it, and then we'll pick a day, we'll record it, and once a month I'll do a show called A Review with a Bastard, I guess. I don't know. You know, that's funny because that works in so many ways, because I'm a bastard in so many ways.
So it works on multiple levels.
Yeah. Well, you know, P1, you seem like you have a good idea there. Maybe you can team up with me in my crime drama coming up next year.
It's called
That's all right, Nick Cage. I'm sorry. I'm okay with it. I have a lot of emotional movies. My next one is Happy.
What was up with that, Happy? I can't wait for the one where he's like, bored.
Boredom is my trilogy. I'm doing an Edgar Wright right here. I'm doing an Edgar Wright, you know? So I got a trilogy coming my way. The trilogy of emotions, you know?
Bored of the day.
Oh, people, I'm a phenomenal one.
And I'm Uncaged Beefcake.
Oh, man, he's sounding on them Nicolas Cage sexies right there or whatever and shit. So, like I said, send me a submission. We'll talk about this more. This was actually fun. Maybe I will keep doing this because it was hilarious. John, it was good talking to you, my friend.
And thanks very much. Keep being the spoiling bastard host you always are.
Yes, yeah. See, it works in so many ways. Bastard and a host. There you go.
You've been phenomenal.
Yeah. Later, bastards.
Bye-bye. I just don't